Good morning, Linda. I'm Mrs. T.C. Richards. My given name is Ernestine. I'm also a graduate of A&I. Linda wants to interview me about the past history of Banchetti. I'm going to talk about Banchetti. It's a little place still. We're proud of it, though. The way Banchetti acquired its name is that we had a banquet, they had a banquet, before Texas was a state, with the Mexicans of Mexico and the Irish settlers who'd come over here from Ireland, and that they were living at that time at San Patricio. There used to be a school out there, too. And they called it El Lugar del Banquete, the Mexicans did. And it was a festival which lasted for 4 days. They had all kind of games that they played. Sometimes they were funny games, and sometimes they were not so funny. The Wrights, Mrs. Cottonwright, Mrs. C.C. Wright, was a clerk before she married. She became one of the greatest friends that teachers ever had in Banchetti. When I first taught in Banchetti, and by the way, I've retired now, after teaching 36 years, Miss Wright would come by and get us, take us to Corpus. At that time, that was an all-day affair, we thought. We thought Corpus was so far away. So they had this festival right out where the Wright house was. I started to say, is that house has just been gone a year or two. There were 5 pioneer houses and pioneer families when I came here in 1924. And I'm really glad that I got to talk to the 2 Mrs. Wrights, Mrs. Cottonwright and Mrs. Miles Wright, because they're both gone now. Mrs. Mattie Bennett was a pioneer lady here. The Bennetts were one of the families that pioneered. They bought all this land for 50 cents an acre when they first came here. Can you imagine? The Rancho Seca, S-E-C-O, is all that north of Banchetti. It's all in one track at that time. That's what the Wrights owned. Miles Wright came out of that, and Cottonwright, and Cullenwright. And they had 5 children. Cottonwright had 5. The Wrights, the Miles Wright family, he has some descendants who are still over there. They run a gravel pit and have a big business over there now, just this side of the river. One of them has developed a lake and camping place and park over there, just this side of the Nueces River. By the way, Nueces means pecan. But El Banquete, and everybody that I meet up with who has never been here always says, you live at Banquet. Because they never think, Banquete, they don't know the reason for the name. Anyway, we had this festival, and some of the things they did at that festival was they'd bury goats up all everything but the head, and 6 riders had come by, and the one who got his goat out first would win the prize. Another thing they had was that 2 men on horseback would take a chicken, pick it as fast as they could, live, mind you. And the one who got to the goal line first, of course, was the winner of that. Banchetti has had, I've worked in a post office for years. When I first came here, Mrs. Bodie was a postmaster, and then her name was Edna, Ms. Edna Bodie, and then at one time Mr. Reisinger, because they had it in the store, but you know, Dan Reisinger, very prosperous guy. And then Albert Berry had a store across the track. One time we had 3 thriving grocery stores here. I just told Linda, well, she said it bigger than it used to be. I thought it used to be better than it is now, really. The little places are just about gone, aren't they? But Banchetti is, our educational system over here is real good. We're building a new football stadium and a track. We've always had to go to Robstown when our boys were going to run track. Now we're going to have our own for next year. Air conditioning the whole school. All right. I guess I'd better finish about this El Banquete, El Lugar del Banquete. And then after those days were over, with the Irish people and the Mexican people became close friends. The Indians, of course, first lived in Banquete. Mrs. Cottonwright, who's long gone now, told me that the Peters place, which is Baldy Kenning, who's the president of our skateboard, I think, this year, owns now and lives out there, it has trees all around. And she said they did all their cooking in the daytime. Because the Indians couldn't see the smoke. See, they had to use wood in their stoves at that time. If the Indians saw the smoke, they'd come over there, and sometimes they'd kill the whole families. The Muley family, who is Mr. Von Blucher's mother, was a Muley. They had this big yellow house across the creek over there, and all of them had yellow fever one year, and there were 11 members, I believe, of that family, too. And Mr. Von Blucher was on, his mother was the only one there. And so, see, they didn't have medicine like they do now. Anyway, that creek is about a mile and a half north of Banquette, where they had this festival. And ever since then, this town has been known as El Banquette. Of course, the L, the E-L, is the Mexican side of it. We have dropped that long ago. But we have some fertile farming land, and we have a co-op. The original settlers of Banquette owned such large tracts of land that the families living in Banquette in 1860 could be counted just about on your fingers, at least on your fingers and toes. Some of the original names were Wright, and Eliph, Muley, Bennett, Clark. Mrs. Cottonwright, you know, was a Clark. And they called her Daddy Cow Clark because he owned so much cattle. And he was over toward Laredo at that time. The Blunders and the Rabs. All those families were the originals. The Eliph family and the Bennett and the Wrights family still have children in our, their descendants have children in our school. Okay. That's why Banquette got his name, is from having that big banquet down on the river, down this side of the Nueces River on this Banquette Creek. We call it Banquette. Now, I guess I'll tell you one or two little things that used to happen along some of the things. First, Mr. Cottonwright, I've told you before in this interview what a good friend he was to all the teachers, and they entertained us and so forth. They had this big, nice home out there where they had the banquet. Well, the Wright family and the Miller family were the very best of friends. Those two men had come, let's see, Joe Miller had courted Susie Wright. Her parents and brothers objected so strong to the marriage, but he kept courting her, and they finally married. He drove up to the Wright's house late one afternoon. I'm sure that they'd had some kind of communication before this. She walked out and got in the carriage, and they rode off, stayed married for about 14 years, but her family never forgave him for stealing their daughter. They called it stealing. And so, Joe Miller, after 14 years of marriage, was killed one day. All those people used to butcher, you know, wanted to butcher and take meat to all the other families. This was his turn. So he got up early one Saturday morning and went over to butcher. And he was supposed to be home a little bit before noon. He didn't come. His wife was beginning to worry a little. By 3 o'clock, she was greatly worried. And so, about 4 o'clock, she summoned the family together. About that time, a Mexican rode up and told her husband was dead. You know, when they shot him, of course, but they timed it just right. This man who came to tell her that her husband was dead didn't even come until the man who killed him had time to get across the river. Yes. All right. And after he rode up, and that, well, she called a doctor from Corpus out here. Said the man had been dead since early morning. Things like this were never reported until the Mexican assassin had time to cross the river, which I'd already told you. This meant the Rio Grande River, of course. And safety for the murderer. Now, you know, we don't do like that. But Mr. Cottonwright used to tell us tales. He told me, I remember one time there were five teachers in Banquette that year. He had us out there, and he sat up to midnight telling us tales. He said he wished he had a dollar for every Mexican he'd have hanged to this hangman's tree. It's right down close to the railroad. They've just built the last 2 or 3 years, they've built a grain elevator there. I wish they chopped that tree down. It'd been here since I'd been here, known as Hangman's Tree. These two ladies were staying together, Ms. Miller and Ms. Wright, while their husbands went back to Tennessee. They drove some cattle up that trail, and then they visited their parents. They were going to be gone about 10 days, and during the night, these two men were sleeping together, and they had the children on the floor. Each of them had two children. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, they heard some trying to break in the screen, come through the screen to their bed. Of course, didn't have air conditioning then. I guess the window was up, probably. And Mrs. Wright said she didn't know how she got that much strength, took that axe away from this Mexican. And the way they summoned, well, they got help at that time, you'd shoot 3 times and the ranchers could hear it and they'd all come over to help you. And they walked the floor to daylight because they were so frightened. But when they shot, here came the ranchers, and she told them, they recognized him, you know, it was Juan. He must have been drunk because she said he was a great worker, great friend of the family. They said, I guess he drank too much mezcal that night before he went to bed or something. Anyhow, that's what they do. They go out and search. So they found about 3 o'clock that afternoon on the Grand Hinamot, up on what we used to call the hog place. It's kind of a hog wallow is what they first called it. So the next morning, his body was hanging in this tree. They didn't have anybody hang that tree after I came to Bankhead in 1924, but I think the last one was in 1912, they said. He hung somebody there. I'm real glad I got to meet these two ladies. They're great. Mrs. Miles Wright's father had started a scrapbook over in Ireland before they came over here, and he let her have it. She let me use it for 2 weeks when I was working up this thesis. I wish I had. She's gone now. I wish I could have that book to look at again. I think I could fix a pretty good history of Bankhead. You know, I couldn't understand what first Ms. Wright was saying about this Mexican coming in, because she started to scream when she heard him trying to get in, and he just kept on coming on in. And she said that she knew that he was drunk, or she couldn't have taken that axe away from him. After Mr. Bodie was the postmaster, that was the other Albert Bodie's family, and then was Albert Berry, and then my mother, Mrs. Carrot, was the postmaster. During that time, they had several acting postmasters, but they don't file their names in the archives. They just file their ones who are appointed as postmasters. Mrs. Stella Whitworth Campbell, who still is in Bankhead, was postmaster for a while, and I used to work for her. When I had I had 3 children. One of them was a baby about a year old, and I can remember working down there all day long. It was in the Reisinger store at that time. For $1 a day. But anyway, I made her quarterly reports. Then my mother took the post office in Bankhead. She'd lived here since 1923. And I made all the quarterly reports for her. I used to work. First, I started working post office. Didn't get anything when I was helping with those reports. And then Mr. Bodie was acting postmaster for 2 or 3 years. This is Marvin Bodie, who now lives in Victoria. He's the father of Bill Bodie, who's our chief deputy, I think. Now, chief deputy sheriff over in Corpus. And now then, my husband, Tillman Richards, had been working he'd worked for Celanese, and he was a chemist in several of the chemical plants. He took the post office. We debated about this a long time, because he had to take a $2,200 a year cut. But he didn't have to work shift work. He's worked it ever since we'd been married. So he's been the postmaster since that. He became postmaster in 1955. Now I've retired from the post office and school too. This year I'm substituting over here for the science department. Yeah. Bankhead used to have the railroad. My son was here the other day and I told him Linda was coming over, and he said, be sure and tell him that Mary and Everett and I used to ride this train to Ropstown for a nickel, pay a dime to go in the show and see the show and come back. Yes, we have the Tex-Mex. We still have freight train comes here, but they don't have a station here anymore. The depot's been gone for many years. But when my family moved to South Texas, it was raining and they didn't have paved roads, and they moved and their things came in a boxcar. They farmed, them and the Bryan family. They had to take their furniture, their mattresses, and put them out in the depot. That's how big the depot was, and stay there until it dried up so they could go up to the house. I told you in the beginning that I had both my degrees from A&I. I wrote a thesis on the story of Bankhead, Texas, because I've always been extremely interested in this history of these parts of the county. I noticed in the preface to my thesis, I say that Cabeza de Vaca passed through this territory 400 years ago, and then La Salle and his Frenchmen visited the country, caused the Spanish to become active in exploring and settling the Gulf region. Mexico came into possession of it after 1821. Texas, Mexico claimed it after 1836. We've been under Six Flags, you know that as well as I. General Taylor's army marched from Corpus Christi to the Rio Grande at the beginning of the Mexican War. Nearly everything that I used my thesis, I got through personal interviews with people. They're nearly all gone now, but I'm certainly glad that I got those things from them. Mrs. Cottonright, who was given name was Ada, she was Ada Clark before she married, had a broken hip when I first knew her. And they used to, well, they didn't even have, Robstown wasn't much to that. Bankhead is the second oldest town in the county. They had Nueces Town, which is over by the river, across that river road. That settlement is still there, but there's not anything to indicate. And then Bankhead was second. And she and her husband were going to Corpus, and some cows were in the road. She ran into a cow, and there was one horse there. Of course, I've seen this happen many times since I've been here. If the train or a car hit the horses or the cows, either one, the people wouldn't claim them, the horses particularly, because they had a band on the cows, either, but not on the horses. And she was crippled. She walked with crutches. She played the piano very graciously. They used to have these old parties at night, square dances, out on their long porch. Mr. Stillwell owns that land now. In 1947, it was 40 years old. That makes it be 87. Okay, since I've mentioned Mrs. C.C. Wright, Miss Cotton Wright, whose given name was Ada, I'd like to tell you one more story. They moved to Rab first, which is part of the Rancho Seco. Rab, of course, it's just a little store, not even a store now, a beer joint thing. But anyway, they were moving to Rab, Texas, and it was in the winter and snowing, she told me. And she had a baby born. It was supposed to be born a month. She thought she had plenty of time to get there, but she knew that she was fixing to have that baby, so the cowhands held a wagon sheet over her. And that's how Cotton Wright came into the world. But he became a great influential man in this part of the country. Bankhead's always had a church ever since I've known it. Mr. Bennett gave some land for the church. They had a Methodist church. The same building. They used the same building until after Celia, our storm, blew it away. And it tore it up so much that the next night, I guess the electric wires caught the thing on fire, and then it burned down. They've rebuilt a nice little Methodist church. We have a Baptist church and Catholic church in Bankhead. I'm a charter member of the Bankhead PTA, which was organized in 1925. Mrs. Gerald Ellif, who's still living, her given name is Annabelle, is a charter member. Also, and Mrs. Shepherd, who lives in Corpus. Ranching was the main way they made their living in the beginning, and it's about to get like that now. So finally, we had cotton and corn and feed of different kind, and at one time, this area was great for raising vegetables, cabbage, and so forth. I remember one time my daddy cleared $10,000 on a cabbage patch, and he was working on a Shields farm out south of Bankhead. He worked it, not working on it. I had taught school 1 year at Thrall, Texas. I was teaching when my parents moved down here, and the school terms then were just 8 months, so I moved down here in April of 1924. They had come before that. And we just had three teachers the first year I was here. I taught in Bankhead then. We used to just go to school 1 year to college and get a certificate. You teach 4 years.
I just went one summer, so after my 4 years up, I went back to Baylor. I'd gone to Baylor to begin with. And got another year's work. Taught 1 year and married. And after my children were all in school, I went back to A&I. I've got my bachelor's and master's degree from A&I. I attended Baylor 2.5 years, my first 2.5. We lived up in that part of the country at that time. And I have a son who's a petroleum engineer, Fred Richards. He's living in Wyoming, Casper, Wyoming. I went up there and went to school. I have some work there in the University of Wyoming, and I have some in the University of Arkansas and some in the University of Texas. I doubt that there's anybody here now that was living when they used this hangman's tree, but it was always, everybody knew it was a hangman's tree until the seizure came along and they built, and after the seizure then they built this grain elevator there. So I'm real glad that I had these statements from all these ladies. Still leave.